people.
Yeah, no one's there. It's all wing. Boy.
Good morning. We'll call to order the March 23rd meeting of the Sussex County Council. First item is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker?
Yes, thank you. I would suggest one change under executive session, that we delete the item land acquisition.
Are there any other changes from council? Entertain a motion to approve.
You got it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approval of the minutes in your packets this week were the March 16th minutes. Are there any changes? If not, I'll consider them approved. Mr. Moore, reading of correspondence.
Yes, Mr. President, I have several items. The first is to dear Councilman Wilson and Phillips from the Georgetown Little League, thanking the council for the generous donation for the help with purchase of new uniforms. I also have a separate letter from the Coverdale Crossroads Community Council, and again thanking the council for the human services grant of $500 for the after-school program. And then the third item we have is an email that was sent from Ray Folkrod, and it was forwarding an article that was appeared in the Cape Gazette thanking our services during the recent weather emergencies for assistance. And that is all, Mr. President.
Do any council members have correspondence? If not, we'll turn the meeting over to County Administrator Mr. David Baker.
Thank you. The first item is recognition for February snowstorms, and we'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who was involved in responding to the back-to-back snowstorms last month. Hundreds of individuals worked day and night during the week of February 5th to February 13th to assist the thousands without heat and electric and the hundreds of stranded motors in Sussex County. Although we cannot personally thank every individual who helped during that difficult week, we would like to at least recognize some of the groups and agencies which assisted in this massive effort. There was tremendous coordination amongst the friends and strangers in an effort to respond as needed and to protect the lives of Sussex Countyans. The tireless efforts by many, who are today represented by a few, resulted in the best possible outcome. And what we'd like to do is take this opportunity to recognize some of these organizations who assisted us in these back-to-back snowstorms, which was a little over a month ago. And what we'd like to do is first ask for some of the organizations to come up to be recognized. And if the county council would like to assist with this, to recognize these organizations.
Very good. Council members, how about joining me down here?
Sure, we can do all that.
Sorry. Okay, the first is some of the volunteer agencies we'd like to recognize.
Can I have the council members read it all?
Well, that's not... that's different. The first is the American Red Cross, and I believe Mr. Jerry Picard is here today. The Red Cross operated shelters in Sussex County. If Mr. Picard could come up. Oh, there he is. Linda.
Thank you.
Okay. The next is Radio Amateur Races Unit, Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, as well as the Amateur Radio Emergency Service. These are two organizations with ham radio operators who were active that week in providing communications for us. Mr. Ferguson?
Uh,
Every ham operator in the county.
Thank you. Appreciate what you do. All right.
This is both groups, all right. Reese's and this goes, another member from Aries, step up with John.
Get her between us.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't want to block Jerry or anybody else. Just take the picture. I'm happy to be here. That's
all. I'd like you to get the award, though. Come get the award. Get the award.
Okay, jump to me.
Very good. You earned it.
Thank you.
Okay,
good job, Jim.
The Sussex County Fire Service, I'm not sure we have any representatives here today, but we will be recognizing them tonight. The next is Delaware Electric Co-op, or Electric Utilities, Mr. Leighton Wheeler and Mr. Kevin Yingling. I know Kevin was at our EOC. Oh, yes, okay.
Go ahead, Sam. Get these photo ops.
People need to see what you look like, Sam.
I'm also a co-op.
Yes, you are.
All they've heard is a voice. Now they want to see what you look like.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Looks
like I'm getting
more.
You're
good.
Hey, hamstring. Yeah. The next is the Sussex County Farm Bureau. We had they're representing the farmers in Sussex County. Many have volunteered and helped. I know Mr. Phillips is here, and I think
Jay Baxter.
And Keith Johnson. Yeah.
Thank you for what you do to help people. Thank you.
This is the president of Sussex County Farm Bureau, by the way, for you folks who don't know that.
Keep on going, Sam.
The next is from the state of Delaware, Delaware Emergency Management Agency. The next is Delaware Emergency Management Agency, Director James Turner, Deputy Director Glenn Gillespie, Lloyd, and Dan Rose are also here.
Sir?
Hello, I would
like
to hear those.
Director, how are you today? We haven't got time to say much. Give me a
mic.
Mic
is live?
No, it's not either. You just smile.
See, he's hugging you. He don't want you to tell him.
Fine, how's that, Michael?
Nobody can see you, Sam.
That's okay, George. You get up here.
Thank you, sir, for all you did for us. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You help the people. Thank you.
Next is the Delaware National Guard, Major Joe Yawn and Lieutenant Brian Malloy. National Guard was out there all week helping.
I was in the National
transportation.
Guard. I'm not a farmer, but I was in the National Guard.
There you go.
So Jordan, I guess that's why they've chosen me to do this.
George, I was there before you were.
Shh, Sam, quiet. Anybody? Can anybody see Sam back there?
Yeah. Major Yawn actually spent a few nights right at the EOC. The next is Delaware State Police, and we have a contingent with Colonel Coop and Major Hudson and a number of others.
These guys, I want to make sure they all recognize me.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. We will get a jail free card.
Anybody got any clout in Virginia? Going to Florida the other day. That's a tough state, Virginia.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see
you. Balance it out. You can spread out on either side. Here, this will be the designated receiver.
Designated.
Down and out. He's zooming in. This isn't bad.
George, you slide down a little bit so I can see.
This is a mugshot. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good job.
Next is the Delaware Department of Transportation, Del Dodd, who was, and we have a contingent, Mr. Jeffrey, the Southern Director here.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm
guys
one of
were
your favorite council.
Out all week and all night.
Jesse Millman.
Yeah, Jesse Millman.
By the way, you've done a great job with all the money. Thank you very much.
It's been a constant battle.
Thank you all very much. Here's your award.
And next is the Delaware Department of Natural Resources. Mr. Richard Jefferson is here.
I like Denver.
Here he comes.
Now, where's the rest of the... You're all here by yourself?
That's it.
Good.
That's all we need.
You can see the state.
Could Mr. O'Mara send some more people?
Where's your pistol at today?
Thank you very much.
They let me carry the bullet.
Take them. And then from the county government, the Sussex County Emergency Medical Services, with Mr. Bob Stewart and
our leader,
Director Bob Stewart.
Our fearless.
We'll balance it.
Sir, how are you?
You made it to the dock.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. I have with me today Operations Manager Robbie Murray, who I must say had the good fortune to be in the Caribbean when the snow
came.
But he is representing the 93 paramedics that responded and staffed the unit during the storm. Education Coordinator Joe Hopple, who was very busy during the storm, as was Bobby Schoonover, who also is our logistic guy, who also helps plow snow. One of our field paramedics, Wayne Jester, who worked a lot. Sherry Collins, one of our office staff, who volunteered to work in the Emergency Operations Center for Joe. She said that was quite an experience. And Tim Cooper is our Special Operations Coordinator, and we certainly needed his help during the storm. I'd like to thank my staff and the paramedics for responding during the storm.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Yes, and we know you're watching.
Thank you.
I hear everything.
And one more, last but not least, the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center with Director Joe Thomas, and Chip Stevenson is also here.
How you doing?
before we do this, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you to all the agencies that came out to the EOC. We were able to handle quite a few incidents and quite a few challenges along the way in that about week to 10-day span that we seemed like we never left. But thanks to every agency in this room that got an award today and the people that were out there on the streets, we were able to do a lot of good things in a matter of a short period of time. So once again, thank you.
I thought he was really going to tell him about the time he called me to take the tractor and go pull the guy out of the house.
I didn't call you, did you?
They've been in there about 6 hours, and he said, shook my hand, said, you saved my life. I'm totally volunteer. You want me to get on a box?
Nope.
Get off.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice, Mr. Baker.
Yeah, thank you.
Fine job, David.
Wasn't that nice?
If,
very
nice. If anybody
it's
wants to leave,
nice
it might be a good
nice
time.
It is.
We're going to get down to the sheriff's business now.
My mom always said, side of being nice and kind.
Okay.
Words of wisdom.
For you?
No. Where is it?
I'm not sure yet. I'm going to check my schedule. Well, I'll take those.
Yes, thank you, sir. Mr. Baker.
Yes.
I guess you can continue.
Okay. The next item is a state police agreement revision.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
And per our budget agreement and our contract with the Delaware State Police, we are charged for 40 additional state troopers in Sussex County this year. We pay about 53% of the cost for those additional troopers. Last June, the state experienced over 50 police retirements, and because of that, they have made us aware that they are short 6 troopers in the out of the 40 that we agreed to fund. In April next month, the next trooper class will graduate, and Colonel Koop has assured us that they will meet the goal of 40 effective April 10, 2010. So we have agreed upon a credit of an amount due the county, which covers our cost for the trooper shortfall, which is $200,000. And our staff has reviewed it, and state police staff has reviewed it, and we are in concurrence. So if you concur, we have a memorandum of understanding for your consideration, which would provide a $200,000 credit this fiscal year for the county. And we have Colonel Koop here today and Major Hudson. I don't know if they'd like to say a few words or regarding this matter.
I guess if council has any questions, otherwise we'll probably read the motion or the resolution.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves a memorandum of understanding providing a $200,000 credit this fiscal year with the Delaware State Police.
Okay. Does council have any comments before I entertain a motion? Could I get that motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the agreement modifying the contract and offering a credit to the county as read by Mr. Baker. Is there any discussion? I simply would like to say that the county and the state have a very unique partnership, one that has worked very well over the years. I think both sides are operating in an atmosphere of good faith, recognizing this slight deficiency and the state stepping up and being willing to work with us so that an appropriate credit could be accomplished is greatly appreciated. We look forward to a continued positive relationship. I'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, I'm very pleased with this.
Mr. Thanks. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen, for everything.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Baker.
The next item is a report regarding the county gambling and casino zoning rules. And I'll turn this topic over to Mr. Everett Moore, a county attorney.
Yes, Mr. President. At the end of one of our meetings, I was asked by Mr. Cole to research what our zoning code said concerning gambling, if anything, and also give a kind of look at some additional matters concerning the gambling issue. And as I think it was stated last week, the word casino does not appear any place in our code. Obviously, the reason for that is because our code was drafted before gambling was allowed in any form in Sussex County. So I looked at, instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, I looked at other state jurisdictions and counties, and in fact, a town in Sussex County, Delmar, ordinances. I found that, quite honestly, there was several ways that other jurisdictions handled this. In some areas, there was actually a casino district that was created, for example, in Nevada as well as Mississippi. Other areas look at, instead of a special casino district, they looked at having certain restrictions, for example, restricting where any type of casinos could go. For example, could only go in a commercial or industrial area, and then on top of that had a conditional use that would also be required as part of that. So it'd be a twofold. And also I saw also acreage or size requirements. Some areas required a minimum of 25 acres in order to have any type of facility such as this. So that I was not asked to draft an ordinance at this point, just to look into it, to see what was there, and that is what I found.
There was a suggestion of several meetings ago that we move toward creating regulations for gambling before we can create the regulations, Mr. Moore, in light of the fact that the code is completely silent to the issue. What would be the procedure that you would suggest?
Well, the correct procedure would be in ordinance fashion if we decided to do something. If we decided to put a casino ordinance, or if we wanted to limit casinos or any type of gambling activity, not just casinos, but any, into certain areas. For example, if it was a resident, not allowing it in a residential district. Right now, since it's silent, someone could conceivably come in, apply in any type of district under the conditional use. Mm-hmm. So this would allow, if you had some kind of restriction stated, it had to be a certain type of district under conditional use. That would be one way of proceeding. You could, another way proceed would be to have a special district, or you could even limit it further.
Mr. Moore, oftentimes when we find vacancies in the code on an issue like this that could provide a loophole around it, as you just suggested, a moratorium could be offered to basically put the brakes on any applications until those regulations are promulgated. What is the procedure for this council to basically put a moratorium on any casino applications until those regulations are created?
To be quite honest with you, I would need to look into that. I've not dealt with that before on a moratorium. I would assume it would take, I'm not sure if it would be a policy or an ordinance on that. I'd really need to check into that.
That's fine.
We've been advised, but Vance, in the past, like when it comes to moratoriums, there needs to be like some kind of emergency situation that is perceived for us to do this, to like, because we're working on something or changing things. Like I know towns do it when they're revamping their land use plan. So we would have to establish some kind of an emergency atmosphere, I would think, to justify putting on a moratorium.
Could I ask Mr. Lank maybe to speak to this issue or not? I believe you've dealt with moratoriums in your 35 plus years at the county.
We've had none.
35 plus, yeah.
Good morning. The moratoriums have been specifically related to specific issues, and I guess this would be a specific issue. So,
what is the process? Do we need to advertise and have a public hearing before we can approve the moratorium?
More recently, the moratorium has been advertised.
Okay.
A few years back, I will say over the last couple of years. Before that, it would just be done by council right at that moment.
And I believe...
But I'd have to go back to each one and just see each one was done differently. More recently, they have been advertised, because we had an influx of a lot of activities from the day it was brought up at council to the day the moratorium actually took place. So applications were taken, for specific uses or specific zonings during that time period, which could take 30 days or 45 days.
So it sounds
advertisement through the public hearing.
So it sounds like a vote of council to put an immediate moratorium on to stop any rush of applications until it is advertised and heard publicly.
That's what that's why it's been done the last couple of moratoriums that have been.
Okay. So you're Mr. Cole, I'm not opposed to your directing staff to create regulations for gambling.
Right.
I'm not necessarily in favor of those regulations, but I do think that, as in the past, it may be appropriate to kind of shut the door and give us time to consider the regulations so that we don't have this influx of applications. Okay.
First of all, though, I would love to hear then from you and anybody else who's concerned about this, because we did have a consensus to move towards trying to develop an ordinance to address it through, I think, what you've just highlighted with other areas, zoning districts, restrictions, size requirements, except minimum requirements and all that stuff and things like that. My concern is right now that there is a way to do it in Sussex County through the conditional use process. If we would then again have to have a consensus, Vance, to say to our staff, we want an ordinance. So we're in the process. The reason we're having a moratorium is because we're drafting an ordinance. Okay? In the past, now remember, this council, when as we've had land use plans changed, we've never addressed any moratoriums. And you have been one of the most in opposition to ever having moratoriums. So, we ought to be, as transparent as we can and everything else. We can address land. We can address the casino issue through land use, and that's it. It is deemed to be an appropriate activity in the state of Delaware because Dover, Delaware did it. So the people here are concerned about the social ills. It's not our area of concern. We can't address those social ills of gambling. Dover has deemed it to be an appropriate activity in the state of Delaware. Now then, we can address any appropriate activity through zoning. And that's how we ought to do it. So that was my suggestion months ago. We've now lost 2 months because somebody has suggested to our attorney, or a couple of you have suggested to her, let's not do anything. Or we didn't have a consensus. I don't know. There was no misunderstanding of what happened today. I suggested it. Everybody concurred. We directed them to do it. And we should be further along. So right now we're dragging our feet. Moratorium, that's a way to do it. If we have staff directed to come up with a proposal, a draft ordinance, within X amount of days. We just can't let this drag and drag, because then moratoriums are totally ineffective, and we're not using them for their proper use, which is to delay or to stop things. So if there is sincerity on this council's part to get a draft ordinance within 30 days, 60 days, I would have to ask Mr. Moore and Mr. Lang, because they're the two that would probably be working on it, how long would it take with the rest of the workload you have? And then we put that on the record, and like say 60 days, and that's it. But we can't just leave it open-ended. We've never done it before. We've been very hesitant to use moratoriums in Sussex County Council, and I have been many times an advocate of using them, but I've been stifled by the majority of past councils about moratoriums. So I think we're treading into a new area. So if we got time frames, et cetera, let's do it. That's a good way to do it. Because if we do nothing, because it's not mentioned in there, I don't trust that. We have a way to do it. We have gambling now throughout this county. We have these card-playing gambling rooms under the guise of a charity. They're charitable. There's one in Frankfort, I believe. There's one outside of Rehoboth, I think, at Midway. And they're poker rooms under the guise of charity. And that was done because charitable organizations like fire companies, churches, and have these bingos and gambling nights. They wanted to be able to permit those charitable organizations to have it. Now, all of a sudden, the loophole has been that the private sector say, hey, I'm going to be a charity. So they can give the minimal amount. I don't know what it is. It's like 10%. And then the rest goes to salaries and overhead, et cetera, et cetera. So we're seeing gambling now pop up all over in places we never thought in our commercial district. So there was a loophole that the state left open and is allowed, and they're giving the licenses. And here we sit, and people who are concerned about social ills of gambling should be screaming bloody murder, because it wasn't the intent to be able to do that. But
we need to address it through zoning. And if there's a consensus to do that, I think creating a district with restrictions, size, I mean, all that stuff is makes a lot of sense, because the impact of what we're seeing of these proposals are going to be a tremendous amount of traffic will be drawn to these areas. Water and sewer impacts, a conflict of uses. We have where the Indian River School District and the location of one in Millsboro is very controversial because of the conflict of uses that are so close. I also think that we've seen towns gerrymander their town limits to incorporate these large parcels of land owned by one owner in typically rural, what would be perceived as rural areas, and then the people that live outside that parcel of ground that's being annexed have no voice. All of a sudden, they could be, and there is a great possibility that they could be stuck with one of these activities. So we need to address it, and the only way we can do it is through zoning, not because if it's bad for the family or bad for this or bad for that, we got to do it through zoning because that's all we can do. So I think we need to keep our attention there. And I wouldn't even – I think we ought to also put in this ordinance that if it does – one ever does get approved by future councils or whatever, there's a percentage that does come to the county because they have offered to the towns percentages of their of the operations, you know, to help with the – to offset some of the infrastructure costs and things like that. So I think this ordinance could be, you know, tough ordinance, and if you meet the requirements, then you have a public hearing, then the pros and cons can listen, and then a council will make a vote.
Mr. Vincent.
If I understand it right, Lawrence, today somebody could come to us with a conditional use application.
Good.
For a casino somewhere.
In certain districts.
Okay.
Not all districts.
Have we, to your knowledge, I'm sure to, have we had, at this point in time, an application from anybody for a casino in this county?
No.
In the county?
No.
Nobody.
Can I add to that?
Sure, Sam.
Georgetown Racetrack out here some years ago, the owners of that came before this council. Not the members here, but this council. George sit right on the council, I think. And came asked for permission to put gambling out there on that racetrack, going to put a horse racetrack and whole works. And this council voted down. George, you remember that?
I can't remember if gambling I can't remember if gambling was part of that, Sam.
Well, it's part of the gambling, George.
I don't remember that.
You're talking about betting on horses.
Betting the horses, the racetrack, the whole works, right out here south of Georgetown on 113. I remember it just like the day because I was one of the people that sit here. And I know you don't remember that, George.
I don't remember
because you brought that into your message. You said that we've never took a stand on that, this council. That's not totally true. This council should stand for morals, whether you believe it or not. I do. I think that we should have principles and morals. It's important. And we should reflect upon our community that we believe in principles and morals and those standards of life.
Personally, I applaud you for doing that. That's fine. But again, as a body, we don't address the moral impacts. We do look at the safety, welfare, and things of our decisions do to this county.
And that was turned down, George, because of the gambling that was requested. You remember now, Mr. Lank?
Yeah.
But I don't know if that, that was a racetrack, an operating racetrack, as I can remember going to it.
Well, you think these racinos are? They're operating racetracks.
I understand that, but I don't believe that application was for a casino.
It was for racetrack.
Just to bring the racing back into operation, because they were anticipating that there was legislation coming down. All we saw was, could this racetrack, which was a racetrack, and had a historical, you know, it was built to be a racetrack.
It was automobile racetrack, not a horse racetrack. It was an automobile racetrack.
No, it was horses.
No.
Lawrence, what was it?
What they were wanting to do?
The racetrack south, Georgetown Raceway, is actually an automotive racetrack.
Oh, that one. Okay, what are you talking about?
Application was discussed, and it's been several years ago.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the horse racing out there.
Talking about Georgetown Raceway out by Stardegate. George was talking east.
So you're talking about the stock car. That was turned down because of noise and other things, and right.
No, George, you mixed up again. It was already a stock car track, already there. It was already passed.
Still there.
That's exactly right.
They're having races coming up.
So that was not the reason. The reason the public was, and this council voted, that they did not want a horse race track there that led into gambling.
No, I don't believe that's true.
Well, I guarantee
you.
Well,
no, you can easily review the record.
I can pull the record.
Mr. Lang, am I not right?
I'll pull the record.
Pull the record and please bring that back so that Sam and I can have a decision on it.
It's been quite a few years ago, but yes, it was.
I believe I see a couple people sitting out there that came to this hearing. Am I?
It's in the hearing.
Can I, hearing whatever we're saying. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm wrong for the first time today, George.
Mr. Can I keep score?
Mr. Vincent and then Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
So today we have no application before us at all. No. Haven't had any.
Sam had to remind me of the other one.
That's quite a few years ago.
And it wasn't for a casino. It was.
No one. And they could do it. They could apply for conditional use.
They could.
Correct.
And you could apply for conditional use in all the zoning districts except for five.
Right.
They do not have a provision.
But conditional use, you could put very strict whatever in conditional use as far as.
It could be a conditional use with a specific restriction added to it. Similar to what we do on bar pits and mobile home parks, and campsites, et cetera. They have additional conditions.
Well, I think that, one thing has crossed my mind, and I could be way out in left field somewhere. But I guess one of the things that concerns me, if we do something that would not be the best interest of the county, my opinion, I'm going to have to mention more of this. Just like the state did with, I would guess, probably Delaware Solid Waste, the state could exempt from our land use plan casino location. Is that that's a question? Can they do that?
Well,
if we don't do whatever.
I know there have been some circumstances that they have done that in the past, solid waste. It's my recollection that there was some attempt by the county to restrict, I believe it was incineration, or that discussion was coming up, and the state exempted the solid waste from the zoning process. It's my understanding that some of the locations, there's still site plans that come up, but that may be for courtesy purposes only. Mr. Lank would be able to answer that, but as far as the zoning itself, that is exempted.
The incinerator issue came up, pretty much all three counties had the same problem. And
nobody wanted it.
And the Sussex actually adopted a regulation that said the state and federal government are not exempt from zoning jurisdiction within the unincorporated area of the county. And then there was another caveat that municipalities are exempt if they have contractual or financial agreements with the county. And of course, now that all the 25 towns have taken over their own zoning, so we don't have any jurisdiction zoning-wise in any of the towns now. And then being we adopted that regulation in the code, the Solid Waste Authority went back to legislature, and legislature approved and exempted Solid Waste Authority from either county and the city of Wilmington.
I guess what concerns me is I would much sooner see us have a say than to not have a say, give to the state. That bothers me a great deal, because I think that should be part of our obligation is land use and zoning, and I don't want to see us do something that would give anybody in Dover the opportunity to say, we can solve this issue right now. We'll just pass this law, and you no longer control that in your county. That concerns me.
Okay, I'd like to help. Can I help answer that?
There's no answer to it. That's a fact.
Mr. Wilson, briefly,
like,
and then
like
Ms. Deaver.
Think that further.
Okay.
You're saying if we take this action, that a possibility the state override us, and we won't have no say. So if we say nothing, we still have no say. So we're ahead of the curve. Instead of being behind the curve, we're ahead of this curve. So, Mike, that'd be an easy cop-out to me.
I don't see how we're ahead of the curve. They can already we have it now. They can come for conditional use.
Mm-hmm.
That's there. They can apply for conditional use.
Absolutely.
And then we have public hearings, and then we deal with that.
And, Sam, the next election could have a different makeup here, and you could see it back and forth. That's why I think with an ordinance, we could address things like a district size. We could do hours of, you know, we could do so many things in an ordinance that right now the conditional use lets us just do anything we want. So maybe today you feel that there's not a lot of support here for something like a casino. 2 years, it could change. 4 years, it could dramatically change. So right now I see the state legislature with the leadership at the House especially, pro-casino. They're desperate in need of money, and they're going to be trying to force it down. So I can see what Mike's saying here. The scenario is they're going to say, we see what's happening in Sussex County. We're going to now circumvent it and take it that way. And so careful, because I was telling Everett this morning, my recollection was Bethany Beach, when I was younger, was a dry town. Some restaurant took it to court because the state had jurisdiction over liquor. They claimed that even though the town charter said no liquor, they overrode it because the state, you know, trumped them. Anyway, now Bethany Beach, and you don't see any dry towns in the state of Delaware because they had the ultimate authority in liquor law. So I see casino laws and things at the state level. They can trump us unless we act responsible and say we're doing it because casinos are going to be large. They're going to attract a lot of people. They're going to have accessory type of activities with recreation, et cetera. Every application I've seen so far is trying to attract, you know, young and old, you know, with water parks and this and that kind of park just to be appealing. So we can address it through traffic, water sewer, quality of life type issues, impact on the neighborhood.
Who's to say they can't override that if you're scared of overriding?
They can, but we're not saying no to it. We're saying come in front of us. You meet these requirements, you can have an application.
Okay,
so,
let me ask Ms. Deaver. You've been very patient. I appreciate it. Your turn.
Well, I'm kind of sorry that I brought this up because I think staff was already looking at writing an ordinance, and I really would prefer that the people of the county have a say, have a hearing on this, and that people should have an opportunity to have a say about what they want. And as far as conditional use and granting permission to have a casino or any kind of gambling under conditional use, I don't like to see that. It's, in my opinion, it's spot zoning. It's irresponsible. We have to follow up and see if all the conditions are being met, and we don't have the staff to do that. It would be much better, in my opinion, to have a code, have it written in the code exactly what we want. To me, that's planning. And if the people don't like it, then they have an opportunity to come to the hearing. I do have a question of Mr. Moore, though. Say that we do have a lot of conditional use applications while staff is writing this ordinance. Is it necessary to have a moratorium, or how could the county handle those? If the county doesn't want them under a conditional use, how does the county council handle that without being overturned?
Well, if we said no, I mean, we'd have to have pretty good reasons.
You have to accept applications if they meet the requirements.
But they have a couple of processes they have to go through. The size of a casino would cause them to have to go through the state through plus process. It would also require DLDOT's approval before of a traffic impact report, at least.
Okay, Ms. Deaver, let me suggest this language, and if it doesn't meet your standard or anybody's standard, I'm fine. But it sounds like there's a consensus to direct staff to promulgate those regulations. So the motion would read, I move to direct staff to draft regulations governing gambling venues in Sussex County and place a moratorium on applications for gambling-related venues until such time those regulations are approved by the Sussex County Council.
I would make that motion, but I would not add the part about the moratorium.
So you are going to leave the door open for applications prior to us creating the regulations that you just suggested we need?
We are free to turn them down, are we not?
But if you have good reasons, right?
Well, not the application itself.
Right.
You would accept the application, and I think this would prevent even the acceptance of an
application
during the process until the regulations were in effect.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have a moratorium, my take on it would be that and we accepted applications and certain decisions were made on that application as it went through the process, or we just deferred on it for years, we could maybe subject ourselves to some kind of legal repercussions from that.
Yes.
So by doing the moratorium, you eliminate that, but it's got to be a time frame.
Yeah.
We got to adopt it. We got to do it quick. We got to move in a timely fashion. If we don't, then we're being arbitrary and capricious or whatever the word is. I'm only concerned, Vance, on what you said. the definition of like gambling venues. Is that the, is there a better term to use? Casino, racino, and, you know, in other words, make sure that we cover, because when you say gambling venues, would we be, if somebody went into a mall today and did one of these poker rooms, which is permitted, there, it doesn't even require any kind of rezoning because it's zone commercial. Are you talking that somebody would have to then maybe come in for a zoning or a change or whatever? It'll fall under, like, in other words, the state law permitted this.
Well, the state has a specific section of their code designating gambling facilities, correct?
Right.
And would that be the proper reference here?
I believe that's what we should reference.
Okay.
Because I think it's the intent just to make sure, you know, what's in the news now, the big venues, to prevent those as opposed to something else.
Well, like I say, a little poker room, is that going to fall into this thing? Because that, as of right now, they're...
As licensed by the state.
We don't license them.
No, gambling venues as licensed by the state.
I don't know. That's something we need to address. I don't know. Are we going to get that picky unit? The concern is large casino, racino, water, you know, what we've seen, and you've... What are they called? What's the one in Laurel called? Discovery or something?
No, that was Discovery.
That was Discovery, okay. I mean, when you looked at that site plan, whew, it had soccer fields. It had everything. And then the one, I don't know, Del Point. Again, if we looked at those are the things I think we're trying to address. I don't know if you're looking at a shopping center and a storefront little gambling operation that's already been approved. Its site plans have been approved because they have the sufficient parking. It just basically falls under. So that's where you got to be careful to what extent we're going, gentlemen, on the...
So you're discussing the slots, card, or the,
that's
the
what
table
I thought,
games, those
that
things.
Is what has triggered all this. I was just pointing out these poker rooms are already permitted. Somebody today could go build a hotel somewhere, you know, like I'll use Indian River Inlet and put in a big poker room. Hmm. They may not have slots, but they'll have some types of gambling, which will appeal to a certain portion of the, population.
So the language could be amended specifically.
Well, I think that's what you should work on and come back with some suggestions. I think there ought to be a draft put to us. Let us discuss that and then go back for a final.
Well, I think what I'm hearing, Mr. Colin, it's a valid point. Video lotteries, table games, and horse racing betting are those that would fall in those categories.
I don't know. I'm not determined. I don't want to say what George Cole wants. I'm just going to say I'd like to see the staff come up with a draft. We look at that and see if, and go from there.
Again, the problem is, and this is the danger of discussing this publicly, but we have to. Once the word moratorium hits the papers, you find applicants coming in very quickly in an attempt to get in under the wire. It may be appropriate to consider this today, and if it fails today, then we would move on and maybe have them drafted. But how about if we said, I move to direct staff to draft regulations governing gambling venues that include video lotteries and or table games and or horse racing and betting.
You need something. You're probably going to have to come up with exceptions too. What could be accepted? Because every convenience store in Sussex County
sells a lottery.
Lottery tickets.
Right.
It's a video lottery.
I know, I'm just saying, you have to write in the exceptions too, so they don't get a dispute over what the wording is.
I mean, let's just let ever if we and you're there, you're leading up to a moratorium. Is that what my
yeah.
right? Okay. Would you please you've heard the conversation? Could you come up with some wording for a moratorium that would be you think most appropriate?
Right. Mr. Lank and I and Mr. Robertson can work on that for the next meeting.
I'd like to speak to that. Is there such a thing as a moratorium with an ending date? I mean, I don't want to see a moratorium put in just for the purposes of killing this.
No,
because I do want the people to have a say.
It ends when the regulations are approved.
When they're approved.
Well, no, I think we ought to put a time frame. I think if you come back in a week, could you give us an indication how long a draft proposal would take, and then how long, from that point on with other new suggestions and then put it into a final form for advertising. So I would like to see 30, 60, 90-day type of time frame, because it shouldn't take forever to do this.
And Ms. Deaver, to answer your question, I would be able to tell you at that point if we could put an ending date in that.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, I don't know off the top of my head. I'd need to look at that.
Okay.
And we can always extend it if I would think that if we got to a certain point with you coming back and saying and Lawrence saying that we're close, but we still need another 30 days, we could extend it 30 days. So we could extend it, but I think we need to put a time frame. Otherwise, open-ended moratoriums are hard to defend in, if we ever get legal action taken against us. Wouldn't you say, Lawrence? That's exactly right, right?
How about your public hearing?
Yeah,
tell them they're not listening. They're all chatting over here.
It's all this, you know what I mean?
George is right.
Tell them they hate to hear that. Sam does.
I guess I cannot make a motion as county council president, but I do feel like we have the framework here of a workable motion. I understand you two may oppose it, but I'm not sure where my friends on the right will be. I will read what I would like to see as a motion. If one of you gentlemen wanted to make that motion, we can see if it would get a second. But
let me just, before you do it, wait, one thing.
Cole,
did you hear Mr. Lank just state that if we don't put a time frame in there, say that again.
Time frame safer.
Excuse me?
Time frame would be safer if you establish a time frame.
Okay.
I don't know if you can put a caveat in it that would allow you to extend it without having to go back and re-advertise for an extension. Mm-hmm. That's the only question.
No, I understand. But I'm simply saying today I would ask that a council member consider making the motion that I move to direct staff to draft regulations governing gambling venues that include video lotteries, table games, and horse racing betting in Sussex County, and place a moratorium on applications for gambling-related venues until such time those regulations are approved by the Sussex County Council.
We got it.
Okay. So it's open-ended? Your suggestion
until we get those regulations in place, it kind of defeats
those guys.
Excuse me, Mr. But we have a motion on the floor. Is there a second so that we could discuss it further and possibly take a vote?
My only conversation.
I'll second it.
I'm not saying that it's going to pass, but we have a motion on the floor, and the floor is now open for discussion. Mr. Cole.
I would just, again, I reiterate, the opposition is at this point from me is that we have to defend these things. And we also set a precedent for future moratoriums. Open-ended moratoriums cannot be defended. There is probably case law, you know, all over this country showing where open-ended moratoriums are a waste of time. So I don't want to waste our time or other people. I think a time frame, and that's what we ought to be discussing. So my opposition is going to be because of this. That's all. I mean, it's ridiculous to
okay.
get to this
Could
point.
We ask the question of our attorney? If we adopt a moratorium on this issue, would we be much better served to adopt it with a time frame?
Yes.
And just, I mean, I somewhat see where Jones coming from. The council could just keep putting off the regulations for years and years and years. And, I mean, are we better off to adopt it with some kind of time constraint?
As Mr. Lank indicated, yes, it would be safer to have a definitive time date.
What, in your opinion, what would be a reasonable time frame?
Well, the entire process would mean first that we would need to come up with a draft document, come in, bring it to council look at it. Then after that, we would need to draft it in an ordinance form. Subsequent to that, it would be set up for public hearing. And Mr. Lank, I believe this would involve public hearings before planning and zoning, as well as
yes,
county
right.
council. Mr. Lank, but what kind of time frame would we look at just the public hearing process?
Typically, if it comes, ordinance is prepared, it's taking us around 8 weeks.
Okay.
But we have to advertise hearing. Based on a schedule that's already set up, and the hearing dates are set for so many weeks between commission and council. And we'd have to say, I would say 8 weeks at least for the public hearing process. But then the commission's got 45 days to make a recommendation, so that's an additional few weeks.
Well, those could be justifications to extend it.
Well,
later on,
also,
if we get to that point.
That gives us an idea how long to come up with the initial period as
I mean,
well.
I guess my question is, would 6 months, is that
180 days?
Is that too short, too long? What do you think?
It should. 6 months should cover the preparation of the ordinance, the advertisement, the public hearings, and decision time, decision-making time. So.
Yeah, I would ask to amend this motion to add 180 days, and you got no problem.
Do we want to put a gun to our heads in the sense that should we still be working on this, the window opens back up for these kind of unregulated applications.
Or extend the moratorium.
Extend the moratorium.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will. I'll accept that modification to include language that the moratorium will be for a period of 6 months, or until the regulations are approved, whichever comes first.
Mr. President, whose motion was that?
Mr. Wilson, do you accept that?
Yes, sir.
And the second also accepts it. Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor to draft regulations governing gambling venues in Sussex County and to place a moratorium on those applications for a period of 6 months.
Correct? And, those, and Mr. Mm-hmm. President, you indicated those forums were those that were the video
lotteries, table games, horse racing, betting.
Sports betting.
Okay. And sports betting. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
That was just added. That was an addition.
Mr.
What do we add?
The person who made the motion asked that sports betting be included in the motion.
That's what we've done at the casinos, right?
Yeah.
I never go to the place.
So I don't play.
It's only allowed here, I'm sure. Yeah.
We won't get in trouble with the bingo games, will we?
No. No, that's not sports betting.
Okay.
Nothing to do with that.
A friendly amendment was accepted. Include sports betting. Mr. Cole, the floor is still open for discussion. Go ahead.
The question would be, again, to the attorney. Would this affect current state law that is permitting certain, like, charitable type of venues?
That's why I asked the question, was it affecting these items that were said, mm-hmm. that were stated in the motion? And I believe the motion was written that it's specific as to those items.
Yes,
right.
Okay.
Since it's specific to these items, it would not affect.
Okay,
the fire departments have or the churches have doesn't affect that.
The poker parlors
they're not affected either because they're under that other law. Okay, mm-hmm. okay. I just
boy, that was
the charitable organizations.
Right. We'll call the question, Ms. Deaver.
Yes, I wouldn't want to delay that moratorium because you know in some areas. They've put gambling on ships, and it's not unheard of that people haven't been allowed to have gambling, and they've had it on ships, and so I say yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll say yes.
Mr. Vincent.
Yes.
How about yes? Motion carried. So there is a 6 month moratorium on gambling venues while staff and council is considering these regulations.
That's correct.
Very good. Thank you, folks. And we have a second part to this, although, Mr. Moore, would you like to talk about our rules of procedure for introducing draft ordinances?
Yes. It's come to my attention that maybe our rules of procedure differ somewhat to what the practice had been in the past. The rules of procedure for ordinances is on page 6 of our rules procedure, and it's item 10.1, and it states, any member of the county council may request a staff member or consultant to draft an ordinance for introduction. The member shall notify all members of the county council at the time the request is made. Upon drafting the proposed ordinance, it shall be placed on the agenda for discussion and possible introduction. It was pointed out to me that the past practice, and in fact, when Mr. Cole asked that we look at the gambling issue some time ago, there was appeared to be a consensus to do that at that point. But this rule of procedure does not request a consensus as had been in the past. And so I just brought that up to point that out, that there was a difference there.
I'll just clarify. Years ago when we had this first surfaced, and it was, again, because of something I wanted to introduce, and the majority of the council said, no, we're not going to let you. And I said, you cannot prevent me from introducing legislation, which everybody agreed. So the policy we came up with was very similar to this, the way it's written. We would request a staff member to draft an ordinance, but it was only after it was, the member shall notify. That was the first thing we would do. I would sit here and I would say, okay, I'm putting you all on notice. I would like to have this done. And there was a consensus at that point. But the consensus would just indicate to me whether I felt, you know, I should then keep on and proceed with something. It looked like there was no consensus, but I still have the ability to proceed and go ahead and get the members to do it if I was stubborn enough to think that I'm going to go ahead and, you know, and plow into this thing, knowing that there's no consensus to do things. So the number one thing we would do is notify everybody that I have an intention to introduce or to have an ordinance drawn up. And there would be some discussion. From that discussion, you would, you know, a consensus would have come from it. But then as a member of this legislative body, I still have the ability, since we don't have individual staff members on our you know, that I've got been assigned to me, that then the staff would then, if I wanted to proceed, go ahead with the ordinance. But I would sense that, or anybody with, as Sam says, common sense would say, if there isn't a consensus, why forge on? So logic would tell you that most people would not forge on with such issues. But to prevent, or for me to say, I need a consensus out of you before I can do my job, you can't do that. That's not appropriate in a legislative body like we are. So I think that if we just put the member shall notify all members of the county council first, put everybody on notice, and then any member still has it can request to do this. And I don't think it's appropriate for any other members to slow the process. I believe we as legislators, as elected to these, you know, positions, that's our job, and then you move forward. But I think that maybe the order of the rule is maybe could be adjusted. But I don't think we need. I don't just think you can do that, guys. I don't. You can try. They tried before, and I went and got the attorney generals. All, you know, I got them all. And then finally, Gene Byer got his knees started knocking and didn't want to try to defend it. And we came up with this.
Well, I'd like to say something about this. My district, 3rd District, has received over 3/4 of all the applications that have come in over the past year. And my first part of my campaign was no more development without adequate infrastructure. And that's how I got elected. And I'm telling you that the people who elected me want to know that they're going to have adequate infrastructure every time we approve development. And I believe that we need an ordinance for adequate infrastructure like the other counties have. And I would like to see staff come up with an adequate public facilities ordinance. Otherwise, we don't work with DLDOT. We don't work with DENREC. We don't work with the school boards. We don't work with the emergency services or the hospitals.
I'd like to see staff draft regulation to place a cost-benefit analysis on every new regulation. That would allow us to understand fully and in depth the economic impact of those regulations before we consider them.
Do we have staff that has the ability to do that?
Well, I mean,
that's a question. I'm just asking.
We hire it out. I guess this. I'm illustrating where this will lead us. We could end up with hundreds of thousands of dollars of staff time, legal time, expert land use consultants coming in to build ordinances that may not have a snowball's chance of passing.
Well, here's a suggestion.
We got three in this brief discussion. Sam, have you got anything you'd like to put the lawyer to work on?
No, not really.
Let me just say that this council has wasted legal, you know, money and time fighting the state of Delaware over protecting, what is it, wetlands or something like this, and that wasn't a full consensus, but
well, we
ended up doing
we voted.
It. Right, we ended up voting. So you lose. But I'm just saying, we have the ability as legislators to do this kind of stuff, and I think it would be behoove of us. But my suggestion to Joan would be is because this council is not familiar with these types of ordinances that are in the other county, I would try to educate, you know, as you go along in this process, because things move slow in government. I would try to get these other two counties' proposals, look them over, and put it on the agenda as a discussion issue. And maybe we could look to infrastructure improvements. Again, people in my district, I guess, same way. We have felt the brunt of a lot of the development in this county. We've got the road problems. We've got, you know, all kinds of problems. And still, it seems we're still under a lot of pressure. So there may be some merit to all this until we see it in writing. So I would just say, instead of bringing it up and we don't have any familiarity with it, it gets shot down, bring it back up, distribute it, have put... Get Lawrence to go through one and explain it to us, and
All right.
And move from there. But that, right. Instead of a knee-jerk reaction saying, oh, no, because of cost analysis, because we can't do a cost. If we're going to do a cost analysis on everything we do, how about a cost analysis on wasting money suing the state with a private bunch of people that they were going to do it anyway? And, I mean, there's talk about wasting money. Nobody showed me how much that's going to cost us and how much it is going to cost us. So,
would you like the staff to draft that ordinance as
well? No, I don't think we have the ability. I don't think we have I don't think we have the expertise to be able to figure out what a cost analysis is of our impacts on the thing that's
I think that we could do this in a very simple format. I think that we could look at a few issues that are very pressing, and roads. And well, in my district, CAPE schools are full, except for the high school. I mean, the elementary and the middle schools are full. And so we've got a letter from George Stone about that. We have issues. And I think we could come up with something simple. It doesn't have to cover the whole gamut of all infrastructure. But it could be something simple to get us started on it. Either that or make it very, very difficult to develop in my district, because I have nothing but opposition for everything that comes up in my district, and I think you're well aware of that. And there are a lot of problems, and I think they feel that they're developed to death. There are other ways to encourage planning in the middle part of the county or in the western part of the county. But I think we can look at that, too, in the future. But for right now, a simple rule for aligning infrastructure with development is all I'm asking.
Mr. President,
yes,
if I may point out, the item on the agenda for our discussion concern the rules of procedure. I do know that although this came out of that it is starting to discuss items that weren't advertised, and I would suggest we keep to those.
Sure, and I think that the point that I was trying to make is simply how this thing could spin out of control if we allow the procedure to be used as the way it's currently written. Mr. Cole has suggested that the individual council member, in this case Mrs. Deaver, bring to council regulations maybe from other counties that illustrate the ordinance that you would like to produce. And I'm sure Mr. Cole, maybe before directing staff to do gambling regulations, would take the time to bring some gambling regulations here that we could look at.
Well, no, what the staff will do that. I'm directing the staff. When we had the original,
you want Ms. Deaver to do it on her own, but you get the staff.
The staff can. Lawrence can easily notify the other counties to send that stuff down here. And I'm just saying, no, she will use staff to help make her presentation on these types of ordinances. Okay, I'm not saying that we go out and do all this homework and everything. We have people that we hire to do that kind of work.
So before they draft the ordinance, shouldn't they bring other ordinances here like you're asking Ms. Deaver?
Asking her to do it. My suggestion then was misconstrued then. I was saying that she ought to request the staff like Mr. Lang. Our consensus was for Everett to bring some stuff and let it and inform us. Somehow that got derailed, and we ended up finally here today. We've lost a couple months on this whole issue. It's a shame that we did that. But anyway, so get the staff, ask Lawrence, ask Everett. They've got access. He's got staff people to pull these ordinances. And he can stand there, and we can put it, Mrs. Deaver can ask Dave to put it on the agenda to go over it, and he can explain it to us. And then, hey, it won't hurt me to listen to what other counties do and how to address these things.
All right.
And then we can talk about it. And then, again, the discussion, you'll either sense a consensus, because we can't vote on it at that point. You either get a consensus or feel that there's a consensus to do something, or as the person who's trying to move in this direction decides it looks like it's fruitless. And I many times can size up my fellow councilman on where their direction. I mean, I know where you and Sam are on every issue. Mike is kind of a question mark, and I know where Jones stands on most issues. So when you bring things forward, you kind of get a feel of what's going on. So you know if you've been in politics enough, you kind of know what's going on. So try to educate us, but the staff's still going to have to help on educating.
Okay.
I mean, that's all part of it.
So it sounds like
that's why we work. That's how we work.
So it sounds like to me, Mr. Wilson, let me try to sum this up. We are asking staff to bring together information on adequate public facility ordinances, on gambling regulation ordinances, and on cost-benefit analysis ordinances. Are there any other ordinances that we would like staff to bring information to the council on?
Well, your conversation on cost analysis, I don't know if I've heard any. Is there a
No.
Is this the first we've suggested it? Is there a suggestion or is a consensus on that we do that on everything we do?
According to the rule, we don't need a consensus. We just need to inform the council that we're doing it, correct?
Under the rule, that's okay. Correct.
So that's what I'm
okay,
doing.
Okay, well, a minute ago you wanted to have a consensus on everything. Now you've gone totally the opposite direction. Now you don't think...
A minute ago? Ms. Deaver just put something on the table and we heard how the policy reads and we're going
to
do it.
When you came in and started this conversation, weren't you one that was trying to... make sure that we had a consensus before we waste any money?
It's clear we don't need a consensus.
So you're now supporting the policy?
The policy is what it is.
Well, I understand that. I have no problem with the policy. But I'm just saying, as a responsible legislator of this body, I think that, you know, just to throw out frivolous things to try to bog down the system is...
Yes. Cost-benefit analysis is frivolous?
Well, normally we have a conversation. We had a substantial conversation originally about gambling, and I made a suggestion we did this. There was a consensus. There was quite a bit of conversation. We've had none on cost analysis except from you, and
I see language about substantial conversations in the policy.
You don't have to, but okay. I'm just saying, as a responsible legislator who's concerned about wasting our staff time, I try to develop some kind of consensus. Now, you're just taking the opposite tact on this, and I think it could be deemed to be irresponsible that you're just throwing it out and saying, staff, go work on this.
I don't think there was a consensus developed for Ms. Deaver's ordinance that you seem
okay
with.
No.
But you don't like mine, so now we've got to have a consensus.
Well, I have a question of the president.
No, I haven't heard
consensus either. Is your idea of a cost-benefit analysis, is that your idea of trying to put a stop to an inadequate public facilities ordinance?
No, I think it's wise for our state of our economy to know what regulations are going to cost the economy.
Well, then why haven't you done that for all the regulations that we have?
I think if this were to go through, it would be applying to all, not just yours, but
to all.
Yeah.
To all.
And, okay. And Mr. Cole's gambling ordinance may say that we're going to make a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
but I think cost-benefit analysis are good management tools.
The first step I took was to ask staff to just bring forth some ideas and not really to produce much other than not even a draft ordinance, Vance. I asked them to look into what other jurisdictions have handled it to give us some direction. And then that got delayed until today, which was fine. I thought we had a good conversation on it. We finally got a conclusion. We should have done this, like I said, a while back. Mrs. Deaver just brought up adequate facilities type of thing. And my suggestion to her was ask Lawrence and whatever, and then put it on the agenda. Now then, why don't you try to find some cost analysis type of ordinances elsewhere and ask staff to find them first? And this doesn't cost any money. This just, they go on the internet and they go to other counties and they find it, or they go to NACO. NACO can probably pull some of their resources, that national body, and then, again, have Mr. Lank and our attorney educate the rest of us before we move on, just to say... develop some regulations.
Mr. Vincent.
Isn't that somewhat, George, what the state does on most of their bills? They attach a cost.
Fiscal
to
note.
Well, they could. I'm just saying, but I don't know what anything looks like that. Yeah. But so bring me some and show me stuff. I just say, let us see what it looks like. Well, I'd like to see what she's talking about looks like. We don't have it here. We don't have the ability to do it, Mike, because we don't have a staff that does that kind of stuff.
I would like to see us kind of move on from this. We're going to talk this thing to death.
I know.
The one thing that's important, I think, is that whoever directs staff to draw up whatever they're going to draw up, what we just passed a moratorium on that's got to be first thing. That takes precedent over anything else. Mm-hmm. Then once that gets done, we want to.
Our staff is very busy in most departments, and we don't have extra people to do these kind of things. That's why I say we should act very responsibly when we make these requests. And I would rather see us as a body ask for information that's already out there. Put it on the agenda, discuss it, and then go move forward.
I would like to make a point.
Okay, Ms. Deaver.
I have a committee that's been working on this for a year, and they put untold hours, volunteer hours, costing the county nothing. And I'm sure the members of that small committee of five people, and one of which is an attorney, would be happy to work with our planning and zoning office or whatever planner we have to put something together. I would offer those services and cost the county zero.
Great. All right. Mr. Cole, I understand that you would like certain things, but we have policy that has been approved by council. If you want to deviate from the policy, you can make a motion and try to get a vote. But with respect to policy, it says very clearly that any council member can direct staff. And
that is true.
Staff
I would just directed. I would just hope that individual would be responsible and understand the pressure that we have on our staff, on people like Mr. Lank, and to make sure that we, you know, are fully educated on a lot of these issues. And if you could take these extra steps, it would be, I think, more appropriate to do it that way. So,
your desires are noted, Mr. Wilson. Then we're going to move on. Just a minute, Ms. Deaver. Mr. Wilson.
Well, I'm glad to get the time.
Raise your hand until I get down.
I kind of think that's a cop-out to say that the staff can't handle it. I disagree with George, because I think if Mr. Lank is so overloaded, he should come back to this council and say, I've got this much to do, and I've looked into this and this, and if it's worthwhile looking into, it's worth our time, and it's worth our money to see it took care of, so he can at least tell us, so we know sensibly how to vote, that we have a general picture of these things, and I think that's well taken, and I think it's a good idea that the staff should look into these things. And I'm not going to take the rest of the day talking about this.
All right, Ms. Deaver, and then we're going to move on.
As far as our staff, our planner is gone. Are we going to hire a new planner?
We have a land use consultant that can help you with this.
We're not going to hire a new planner?
Vance, that costs money to bring in the outsiders. If we're trying to be concerned about spending
extra money. George,
what are
you trying to cover up or hide that you don't want us to do this?
I'm not hiding anything.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
Let's go on with the program.
No, but what you're all suggesting is we don't have a professional planner, right? Right now, Lawrence, do you have a professional planner in your
Some
department?
Some counties have five and six of them.
I can't.
We do not have a certified planner on the state.
Okay. So we don't have a planner, so the suggestion is go hire the consultants. Well then we've already spent money.
We've saved a couple hundred, probably $100,000 by not hiring and paying a planner. I think we can afford
okay.
10 or 20,000.
Is that our plan?
Okay.
Excuse me? Is that our policy, our plan? We're not hiring one? Because I've been asking for a long time about this.
Mr. President, I again point out
that
the,
that is an interesting
the
question.
Agenda.
Can you bring us to
Thank
the
you. Yes. Okay, Ms. Deaver, we are going to move on.
I
can we talk about it in additional business?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
I will be sure
to
bring that up.
Council, I'd like to thank you for the spirited debate. I think it's very important that we air this stuff publicly instead of back rooms where the public can't enjoy
it's
the conversation.
Transparency.
It's very transparent. And there's nothing wrong with it, and nobody called anybody any bad names. So that might be a first. Mr. Baker, administrator's report.
Yes.
Okay, the first item is that Sussex County has been notified that we have been awarded a grant of up to $648,600 for a solar project located at the county's EOC. The funding will be used to install a 85-kilowatt solar-powered system to save the county $12,350 annually and generate approximately $30,000 annually of revenue in the form of solar renewable energy certificates. This will offset approximately 49% of the annual energy cost at the EOC. Next is the EOC call board statistics. As per the tax spreadsheet, the EOC handled 19,089 calls during February. This is up over 3,000 calls compared to the previous month. Much of the increase could be attributed to the February back-to-back snowstorms. Substantial completion. The engineering department granted substantial completion on March 16th to Fairway Village Phase 3A. Developers Estates of Fairway Village LLC and the projects in the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District consisting of 35 single-family lots. Myrtle Shockley, former county employee. We regret to announce that Myrtle Shockley, a Sussex County employee from January 5th, 1977 to June 30, 1987, passed away on March 11th. Mrs. Shockley served as a deputy in the Patonitary's office and was transferred to the Utility Billing Division in 1985 and served as a billing clerk there. She was 84. We wish to express our condolences to her family and friends.
Any questions for Mr. Baker? Bob Stewart.
Good morning.
With me,
Mr. Kevin Dickerson, Sussex Technical High School Director of Support Services, and Mr. Joe Hoppel, who is the Sussex County EMS Education Coordinator. This is kind of a packets, I forgot to include this document.
No, for Mr. Wilson.
Yeah. Frequently asked questions, and it might help you questions you might be able to answer your own.
One is in the packet. Is this in the packet?
No, I forgot.
Oh.
It's just a frequently asked questions little rider that that the Sussex Tech High School actually passes out to the students and the families and stuff. We have a copy of it. What we're here to do today is to ask for the council's consideration and hopefully endorsement of a collaborative program between Sussex Technical High School and Sussex County EMS to provide an EMTB, which is an Emergency Medical Technician Basic Program, at Sussex Technical High School starting this this next fall. They would provide the venue. They would provide an instructor to oversee the actual venue. We would provide the instructors for the actual course because you need to be paramedic level to teach this course. It's a program that we started looking at about 3 years ago, and we finally developed a memorandum of understanding, which we gave you a copy of. And the EMTB shortage that exists nationally has now crept into Sussex County and is affecting the volunteer fire service and the volunteer ambulance services. EMT basic level is the level that's required to ride on the ambulances in Sussex County and treat patients. This would provide an opportunity for high school students to get the education, to be able to come out of high school and get a job. They can work in the private sector, or they can volunteer for their ambulance service or fire service, and they can also get a job for a local volunteer company or for a transport agency. We would be providing the training, and the cost to Sussex County EMS would be the salaries of the teachers that we would use. You have to be instructor qualified, and Joe's department handles that. The maximum it would cost, worst case scenario, would be approximately $12,500 per year. We can probably reduce that significantly with some creative scheduling, and we will work to do that. Sussex Tech will provide, like I said, the facility. The students will not have to be bused anywhere. We'll do the instruction at Sussex Technical High School. So we would like your consideration.
So they have to be a student of Sussex Tech?
Junior or senior, with preference going to seniors.
Okay.
One of the things.
The only district will be offering something like this is.
It's the only district that we plan to offer this in right now.
At this point.
Mainly because of probably resources.
Okay.
We do not have enough instructors to go to every high school, and this was the first high school that approached us.
Okay.
Mr. Stewart, you said that they could come out of that program and get a paying job. That's what you're saying.
And they can,
entry
yes.
level, at what level do you think?
EMT basic, and they start out anywhere from, I'd probably say, whatever the fire services are paying, could be $9, $10 an hour, up to $12, $13, $14 an hour. If some are paying as much as $15 an hour.
Okay.
And this would also be a step towards going to Del Tech for a paramedic program? We're still offering that there?
Our paramedic sponsorship program we have put on the back burner for a couple of years due to the fiscal crisis that the county's in. We are no longer sponsoring students to go to paramedic school.
We were paying for them.
Right. That program has also getting ready to go through a change at Del Tech because it was an 18-month certificate program. It's also a two-year degree program. They're currently looking at migrating it to a two-year degree program, which would make our responsibility of adding 6 months to it at an additional cost to us. So we elected to opt out of the program for this year. We have 3 students that are finishing up in the fall, and we have no other students planned to be hired at this point.
What you're saying is every time we do these programs, we're basically subsidizing the students or the facility. Like the students actually being subsidized or an institution like the school, like Sussex Tech? Or
in Sussex Tech's case, we are helping provide the instructors, and we're paying our instructors, so we're subsidizing the school.
School, okay, not the student.
Not the student.
Student goes,
right.
Okay, class, okay. At Del Tech, we were subsidizing the student?
Student.
Yeah. Okay,
providing X number of students to go through the program every year.
Right.
Our average was about 3 a year.
Is it getting to the point that maybe we don't need to subsidize? Because there's such a career opportunities out there. I mean, can't the colleges justify doing these programs with?
Well, this would be the high school program.
Right, but I'm saying
the college program, yes, it could be that we've reached the point in this county or statewide where they have enough people interested in going to the program at their own expense and then getting jobs after the fact.
Right.
Most of our out-of-state hirees that we get come from other areas, and they're already nationally registered, they're already trained, and all we have to do is Sussex County-fy them, if you want to use a better word. We basically orient them to our system, we make sure they're clinically competent, and they go on a truck, and that can take anywhere from about 3 to 6 months. Versus 18 months to 2 years to train somebody at our expense.
Mm-hmm.
So we elected to opt out of that. I think the fiscal situation drove us to that as much as anything.
Right, it's nice to help homegrown students to be able to follow this career path, but
We have right now 25 students in our working for our service today that were sponsored by county government.
That's good.
And they are still with us. That's the good side of the program when you sponsor people that are local. I can name several paramedics, Paula Moore, who would not have had the opportunity to be a paramedic today if we didn't have that program in place, because she has family obligations and could not afford to quit and go there unpaid, basically. When you go to college, you pay your own way. So it's a good benefit for Sussex County residents, which is where we geared it. Now, there is some preference in the CMTB program to junior firefighters. If you know some frequently asked questions, there is a preference that's given to those applicants, as well as being a junior member of a fire service.
But the bottom line is they got to be a student already.
They have to be a student at Sussex Tech. They go through the program. They get their EMTB. Then they can go to work. Or they can volunteer as long as anybody that's using or hiring EMT basics. That can be a stepping stone in the future to an EMT paramedic position. If they decide that they like the profession and they go on to paramedic school, they can be hired by us. And right now, based on the current fiscal situation and the current mood of the council, is we're not going to sponsor that right now, given our current fiscal situation.
And the other thing would be is if a student living in another district wanted this appeal to him, he could easily transfer to Sussex Tech, I guess, depending on the enrollment and if there's space.
Depending on enrollment space, as far as we also have the path.
Just like any other student, right? But if some other individuals in this county wanted to get that exposure, they would have to get into Sussex Tech at this point.
Yes.
Now, if it's successful, are we looking at maybe other school districts?
Actually, we feel that one school district is probably going to stretch our resources to the point that we wouldn't be able to handle additional schools, and we would have to talk about that in the future if other schools approached us. We have had one of the school express interest.
Teaching resources, do you mean?
Paramedics have to do this.
I talked about
the $12,500 in salaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have to add that again to another school and mm-hmm. provide those resources. And they do this when they're not scheduled on trucks
mm-hmm.
or if we happen to deploy them to this mission.
Mm-hmm.
So it could get costly. So that's one of the things that the county council would have to consider. If we had another applicant, we would certainly talk to the council about whether or not you would be interested in supporting that mission as well. But at some point, you reach a saturation point that you can't do but so many. We would have to come back to you and say, we've been approached by, let's say, in the River School District, and they want to do it.
This is like a pilot program.
This is a pilot for us. It has been done upstate. Polytech High School has done it in the past.
St. George's.
Newcastle.
Now, because they aren't really getting paramedic training, it's an EMT, it's really benefiting the fire companies, right?
Sure.
Benefiting the fire companies a lot, because they'll be able to get junior members and already existing members or people coming out of school join their fire service, are already trained in there.
Any attempt to ask the fire companies of the county to help sponsor, put some money into this event to help with the cost?
No, we haven't.
Because they're not really coming. We're not educating these kids to help your organization. We're helping the local fire companies. So,
well, we look at it twofold. It's kind of payback, because the fire service, we have kind of gutted the fire service. Those 25 individuals that were trained as paramedics over the last 5 years, many of those were EMT basics. Some were and many of those were in the fire service. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a little bit of a payback time, because we've been stealing the best ones away. It kind of helps rebuild that entry-level pool some.
Right.
But to answer your question directly, no, we haven't approached the fire service about subsidies.
Well, I'm just saying, there's how many fire companies in the county? 20? I mean, $1,000 from each fire company could start another program almost, right?
That's something we could certainly consider.
I mean, I think I would, because it's people they need, we need, you know, and it would show their commitment. So that maybe Mike can bring that up at one of their meetings, that if there's any.
I'll talk with Mike, and I'll be glad to bring it up at the.
I don't mind helping them. Like you say, payback's great, but event like resources are very tight in all organizations, and if we could do more and offer more. And $1,000, or even if they wanted to do more, but I'm just saying, throwing out $1,000 on the table, and you just said $12,500 was the cost.
Yeah, that's worst case scenario. I certainly would rather bring worst case
scenario. So I'm just saying, you could end up doing it a couple places. Anyway, just a thought. I'd like to see maybe.
That is in your budget.
Yes, it was in our budget. It was proposed for this year, but we did not get to exercise it. It's in our budget for next year.
And the state would reimburse at this point in time 30% of that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Oh.
Anything else, Mrs. Deaver?
No, thank you.
Wilson?
Get your money for it. State, change your mind.
There you go.
Obviously, if we lost our funding, we would be back to renegotiate the deal or terminate it.
Do you have a motion?
Yes, I do. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council hereby endorses and approves a memorandum of understanding between Sussex County, Delaware Emergency Medical Services and Sussex Technical High School to provide an emergency medical technician basic training program at Sussex Technical High School to qualify students beginning in August of 2010.
Go ahead.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Call for the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Can I say one thing, please? Yeah. Just on behalf of Sussex Tech, we thank you for your support here today, but we also thank you for your continued support over the years at our school through the county. Also, Sussex County EMS has been great partners with us, and obviously our students benefit the most. And hopefully with this program here, our students will be able to leave our school again with credentials to go right out into the employment, not only out into the employment world, but also be able to help us right here in Sussex County.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you again for all your efforts here.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that this does is the BMT basic program years and years ago was offered at Sussex Tech, but it, due to a lack of support, it kind of failed. I'm a charter member of the Sussex Tech Advisory Committee. Mr. Baker was gracious enough to come last year to a dinner meeting there and get to see what we do and how our involvement with Sussex Tech has kind of evolved to this point, because one of the things that we've been trying to do is get beyond just the CNA program being available, but something that benefits emergency medical services pre-hospitalized, and that has now come to fruition. We thank you immensely for this opportunity.
We'll ramp it up
and go
to those fire companies and see if they want to support it and, you know, a little bit, and we could probably expand on all this.
We will.
Thank you very much. Mr. Parsons.
You get on this right, Mike.
Western Sussex Byway Report. Yes, sir.